Okay, here we are looking back through the files of the Bunyip for Wednesday, August 7, 2024. We're in the lower ground floor of the Gawler Civic Centre in the room known as the Gawler Cultural Heritage Research Room. My name is Kay and I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
We get that right. And I'll kick off with 150 years ago and it's about football. What else would it be about this time of the year? 150 years ago, the football match. The match on Thursday provided the medium of a much more lively holiday than the weather of the early part of the week promised, there being an agreeable sunshine during the afternoon, but such an amount of moisture in the saturated and sloppy soil that tumbling and wet boots and lets were the prominent features of the fun. I don't know what lets are, but we'll just let that go. The attendance of spectators was far larger than we apprehended would have been the case, and the music of one of our local bands tended to enliven the scene. Our space this week is so preoccupied that we can only glance at the play, which resulted in Gawler winning 2 goals in succession before 3 o'clock. But some informality as to the conclusion of the second game was started, of which we will furnish particulars in our next. And that whole long paragraph is 3 sentences. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
It's very descriptive, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It really gives you a feel for what the day was like, which
is... Yes. You know, he's talking about the weather, of course. Yes. Agreeable sunshine, but an yes. amount of moisture in the saturated and sloppy soil. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Very descriptive.
On to 100 years ago, the cinema and the child. The report of their inquiry as to the effect of the cinema is good as far as it goes. The trouble is that it does not go far enough. Everybody will agree that in time school tasks may be helped out immensely by the right type of films. The question is when and where they are to be prepared and how shown. The practical present problem of the harm done showing indiscriminate adult programs to children's matinees is almost insuperable. It seems that governments are sufficiently supine the world over for us to have to harden our hearts or minds to the prospect of a growing generation older in the knowledge of vice from childhood up than were their grandfathers in middle age. Given that 100 years before this, less than, hangings were public and children were taking to see them, I'm not convinced that the violence of cinema was so much more graphic than what real life provided to their grandfathers.
Yeah.
So, but it's the same old discussion. It's exactly, you know, just change the wording
about
video
media.
Games and social media. Yeah. And it's
and how can we control, how can we get our government to control social media? Because the EU apparently is starting to control it. So
And
I
of course, 100 years before that, it was novels. Novels were the great social evil that were viewed as, you know, degenerate if you read novels.
Going
to lead to moral decay.
Yeah, so. Because that was giving education and information to a populace that had previously been controlled by the church through Latin ceremonies and, you know, services made in Latin. It was almost like, oh, we're going to speak to you, but you're not going to have any idea what we're
saying.
To you about. And it was like this sort of, this awesome or awful, as in not awful as in horrible, but the awe creating.
Creating, yes.
Yes, which is how awful actually started. Yeah, instead of having these figureheads that were had to be revered, it was opening it up to the masses.
Yes.
And now we say, of course, the opposite, which is everyone needs to be educated so that they can be informed.
Well, that was what they believed in Scotland. And they're actually trying to educate everyone. So back Scotland had the highest education, best education of the world, the most literate population in the world in 1850. Mm-hmm. So their aim was to educate every single child, and education was mostly free or minor fee paying. Mm. And Scotland was about the only place in the world where a working class boy could go to university.
Wow.
Through bursaries and scholarships.
I did history of education in South Australia. Mm. And the South Australian education system was based on the Scottish education system and curricula.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So there's a book that was compiled, and they got the preachers from every parish to write in a report of their parish. And it was done over in 2 years. One, I think, was about 1824 and then 1830. So they did it sort of about a decade apart, and some of them definitely boast that every child in the parish is literate.
Wow.
And getting education.
So. And yet now on TV we have ads running that say talk to your baby, read to your baby,
yes.
Because there are so many younger parents no longer communicating with their children to the degree that they need to be talked to and listened to and heard, not just talked to, but...
It's just incredibly calming for children to be read to as well. Yeah. I found first time I ever babysat and I knew nothing about children. And the way I got them to calm down was to read to them. And they would immediately just settle and listen. Mm. It had almost a magical effect on them. So I thought reading was a great way to actually settle children.
I used to do that when I had a class, when I came in after lunch.
Oh.
Mm. And I would sit more down and start reading the story.
Wow. We keep forgetting that wisdom, don't we?
Yes.
50 years ago, rates.
This is not one Kay wants to.
Rates, you pay more. Well, yes, that's another common story.
Mm-hmm.
Gawler Town Council declared a general rate of 4.5 cents in the dollar on the assessment for the municipality at Monday night's meeting, 5 cents less than the rate struck last year. Although the rate has gone down by 10%, ratepayers will be paying out about $97,600 more than they did last year. The total assessed value of Gawler for 1974-75 is $7,121,420, which will yield a rate revenue of about $320,464. Don't forget the $4 on the end of it, people. Just as well a budget is just a budget. It's a wish list. It's not a final. Mm. You must.
Okay. So 25 years ago, the wall, now historic icon, the Whispering Wall, and we have our own Whispering Wall out there at the moment.
Yes, the wind's in the wrong direction.
Yes. The Whispering Wall, with its mystical acoustics, has been put on the state's heritage register. A popular tourist attraction, the Whispering Wall and the Brossa Reservoir at Williamstown were constructed in a somewhat unusual manner, using large stones or plums, inverted commas, to fill up the wall and reinforcing the upper and thinner section with curved second-hand tram rails to save concrete. The curve of the wall enabled two people standing on either side of the wall, about 140 metres apart, to whisper to each other, and with the voices heard all the way on the other side, leading to the name Whispering Wall.
It is quite amazing. Mm. I take visitors from overseas up there and just say, come and have a look at this dam, and they think, oh, you're right, no. And you go around and you whisper, and it's just extraordinary.
We used to take the boys there a lot for picnics when they were little. It's one of our favourites.
It's lovely up there, isn't it?
It is. It's a lovely area.
And we actually took my great-nephew from England up there the last time I went up there, and we'd taken him up to Cleveland to see the kangaroos and the koalas and all that, and not realising you had to book to cuddle a koala. So anyway, that was all very much fun. And then at the Whispering Wall, there's kangaroos all around. I thought, why don't we go up to Cleveland? I could have just gone to Cleveland.
And as a Victorian, it always shocks me that all the reservoirs in South Australia are fenced. Because in Victoria, they're recreation areas. We used to go to a reservoir for swimming. And that was where every kid learnt to swim, was in that reservoir.
Yeah, Western Australia the same, New South Wales the same. But South Australia, it's like...
No, they're open now because they're fishing.
They're starting to open fish now.
Yes.
10 years ago, time to retire. That sounds familiar too. Gawler Mayor Brian Samble announced he will step aside for new blood in November and not seek re-election for a third term. I'm 71 years of age and I've done 2 4-year terms. I've got 7 beautiful grandchildren and I just want to change the style of my life, he said. Mr. Samble was elected mayor in 2006, and in his 2 terms, he said council had faced and overcome many major challenges, including turning around its $3 million deficit into an expected surplus. And that ends this week's.
That does indeed.
Very interesting one this week.
Yes.
Is that you, Jill?
There were some really interesting things there.
Thank you, Jill, for your input.
It will.
It's just that when I did a history of education in South Australia, when I went to teachers' college, because in those days you didn't go to university.
No.
The very beginning of the South Australian education system was the Scottish one because it was held in such high regard.
Okay, I didn't actually know that, so that's something I must add.
And then you're saying about education of people in the parish, because the Victorians had this thing about bettering yourself, and that's why they had the School of Mines and the Institute Library.
Yes.
All of that was part of that ethos of improving yourself.
Yes, there was lectures
they were having lectures all the time. There was this real intellectual stimulus here.
And there was a huge... And, well, I've just done a read... it was a year or so ago. I did this here in the storeroom. Is the huge excitement when they bought an epidioscope.
Yes.
Wow. Now, the first one was in Adelaide, and it was water-cooled, and they had to put in special electricity things. But then the thing got... new models got smaller and smaller and didn't need water. And the Gawler School of Mines bought one, but we can't find in the Bunyip or anywhere. We looked in Trove. Trying to find out when they actually bought it, but it was part of this education thing. You can put anything underneath it. It's like a bit like a projector.
Right.
You can put animals, you can put whatever underneath it, and then it projects it up onto the big screen.
Yes.
You can get modern ones
like the old overhead projector.
The overhead projector, which I own one.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Because it's brilliant for enlarging patterns when you're doing quilting.
Of course it would be.
I can blow it up onto a big piece of paper like that, and I can draw it all out and things like that. And it's like the magic lantern one.
Yes, because they did the lantern lectures.
It didn't have you could put a beetle there and everyone could see every detail.
Right. The beetle.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything. Yeah. And it was like a technological, a bit like a new iPhone or something. The technological advance to have one of these epidioscopes. Mm. It was all the rage. But we can't find it in the Bunyip. We know they bought one, but we haven't got any record of it. So I did the...
So it was bought for the Institute or the School of Mines?
School of Mines at first was in the Institute.
Then they had their own building.
That's right. Apparently, you know, they did lectures and they had things projected up onto the screen and things like
that. And people used to come to them. We better sign off, haven't we?
Yes.
Can we sign off?
No, I want to keep that because that was really interesting.
It was interesting because it's all part of Gawler's history.
Definitely. Really good addition. So thank you very much, Jill.
Yeah. We'll speak next... Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. We'll speak next week.
Yes, until then. For old life's sign.